Hey everybody, welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How's everybody doing? Damn it, I'm sorry. At this point, this seems like a bi-weekly podcast, and I apologize. I'm trying to get better, damn it. Ugh, these weeks go by so fast. You know what I'm saying, people? I'm making excuses. I had a rough week last week. I really did. I just wasn't in the headspace. I'll get into it. But as usual, off the top, I want to take the time out to thank each and every last one of you guys for listening to my podcast. So please tell a friend, tell a coworker, tell an enemy, tell somebody. I want this thing to grow. And I know it's kind of hard, like, hey, this dude does a podcast whenever the fuck he feels like it. But it's good when he makes it. I gotta change that. But I'll get into why last week I didn't make one. But I'll start off with my milestone as usual. I'll talk about that later too. But we started getting these written reports from Miles's daycare, and one of the negative things they said was Miles threw a girl's cup and utensils on the ground and laughed when she cried. Now, unfortunately, when I read that, I laughed in front of the teacher in the classroom, and she looked at me like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I'm like, my bad, that's not good. But in my mind, I'm like, holy shit, that is hilarious. But so I had to yell at him. But I mean, just to picture that in my mind as a parent, it's funny, but it's not funny. It's not funny at all. But kids are just so mean, and I think that's fantastic. But that's the milestone for the week, that he's a complete jerk. And he likes to make girls cry. So, yeah, with that out the way, man, for those who know me, actually, you know, a lot of people don't know, but I'm a mess. I've become more and more of a mess probably the last 5 years. I've always had, like, anxiety about dying and shit. Ever since I was, like, 5 years old, I was obsessed with death and afraid of dying. So that hasn't changed, but it seems like it's gotten worse as I've gotten older. My anxiety goes through the roof. My mind races a million miles a minute. I mean, probably faster than the speed of light. My mind just goes to the absolute worst all the time. So a couple weeks ago, I was doing this keto diet, you know, just stressed out about some stuff. So if you don't know, keto is like no carbs. It's just basically fatty meat, lean. Actually, it's a lot of fats, not fatty meat. Sorry. A lot of fats, a lot of proteins, just no carbs. I mean, none at all. Or keep it under like 20 grams. And if you don't know what 20 grams of carbs looks like, just kind of like over your next meal or two, just look at how many carbs you're eating. And you go, man, I can't have any of this. So I mean, a lot of just, you know, processed meats and just vegetables and stuff. I think I just threw my system out of whack. I don't sleep a whole lot. But so I have a doctor's appointment. I get my blood drawn. You know, it's never really an issue for me. I don't think anything of it. And then I think Thursday, I go Tuesday. All that happens. Thursday, I get a call. It's like after 5 o'clock, and my doctor was like, hey, what's up, man? I'm like, hey. He's like, yeah, your blood work. And when I hear that, my mind's like, I'm fucking dead. This is it. He goes, yeah, your liver numbers are just like really high. You know, do you drink a lot? I'm like, not really. You know, not that much. And he's asking me all these other questions. And it's funny because, like, he's like, I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. And in the back of my mind, I was like, this dude, for some reason, is going to ask me if I watch some really weird porn. I don't know why I was like, my mind was just set up for that. Like, okay, have you ever watched tranny porn? And I wanted to be like, you know, what does that have to do with my liver numbers? So, yeah, I was just wondering. I like it. I just thought he's going to be weird like that. But, yeah, he tells me that my liver numbers are weird and it's just really high and, you know, we need to find out what's going on. So I have to go back a couple of days later. So this is Thursday, and that weekend I had to drive back to Rochester to go pick up Miles and come back here to Virginia. So it was just a long, shitty weekend. So Thursday, I think I'm dying. Friday and Saturday aren't so bad because I'm just on the road and I'm, you know, just dreading this drive. Because I get up Saturday morning at like 5:30. I drive to Rochester, get there like around 2 in the afternoon. And I get up the next morning at like 9 in the morning and I drive back to Virginia. So that's like 1,000 miles in a day, basically 24 hours-ish. Tuesday, I'm freaking out. And then, Monday, I'm freaking out. And Tuesday, I go back in, I get the blood drawn, and I leave. And the rest of the week, I am just fucking, I'm like, it's over with. You know, my liver's failing. What if it's kidneys? What if I got some cancer? It's just my anxiety is through the roof. I'm depressed. And that's why I didn't do my podcast, man. I didn't do it. I was too afraid. I had a good friend of mine pass away last week. He died from cancer. And I was just like, I'm next. You know, that's where my mind goes. I was like, it's over with. I'm done. And I got, because this is how dudes are. I tell my asshole friends that, you know, these tests came back high, and they're like, oh, yeah, man, you're fucked. You got cancer. Can I have your jokes? You know, you're eating too much steak. I mean, just everything I didn't want to hear, they told me. And, like, I fuck around a lot, but that's one thing I usually tell people, like, oh, you're going to be fine. And, see, this is how fucked up my mind is. This is how my anxiety works. And I'm pretty sure there's other people like this. But when I would tell people, like, yeah, man, my numbers came back all high. I don't know what's going on. I think I got kidney failure, liver failure. I got cancer. I'm dying. This is it. And they go, oh, you're fine. You're going to be fine. And every time somebody said you're going to be fine, to me, that was just like, you're just making my chances of having something terrible even more so. Like, the fact that you're telling me I'm fine lets me know that I'm not okay. The more I heard you're going to be fine, there's nothing wrong with you, the more I just knew, like, yep, this is it. This is how you get set up. You talk to your friends and everybody tells you you're fine, and then you kind of forget about it, and you go in and the doctor just drops the fucking hammer, and it's just like, you got 15 minutes to live. It is over. You got something rare and there's nothing we can do. I even told people, I was like, I know it's over. I was like, so if when I die, I was like, I'm going to have all these text messages just scrolling on a screen behind me. Like, you're going to be fine. Winston Hodges. And at the end, it's going to be like, it's going to be me. Like, I fucking told y'all. Now y'all feel like shit for telling me I was going to be fine. And I'm not. This is all your fault. And I'm already kind of afraid to go to the doctor. I just went for the basic routine physical, and that's what scares me, because the routine physical has killed more motherfuckers than anything else. It's always the people like, oh yeah, my buddy died. What happened to him? He just went in for a routine checkup. Yeah, man, thought he was fine. Had the routine checkup. Found out he had stage 8 cancer. Or he had this disease, and yeah, he was dead like 3 weeks later. 2 months, he was gone, bro. He was fine. He was cool. That's all I kept hearing in my mind is people saying like, yeah, he just went in for a routine checkup. The blood work came back, and then boom, he died. It's over. And then Charlie Murphy died, and, you know, he had leukemia, and I was just like, well, maybe it's something. I mean, my anxiety, man, it's so bad. It's so bad. So I was too distraught and worried and confused and just sad last week to do a podcast. And I should have, but I didn't. I didn't even properly say goodbye to my friend on social media because, again, this is how fucked up my mind is. I didn't want to get on Facebook and go, hey, rest in peace, Corey. I loved you, man. You put up a good fight. And then, like, I find out I have something crazy. And then I die. And then people go, damn, look at this, man. Just 2 weeks ago, he was saying rest in peace to his friend. Now he's dead. Isn't that fucked up? I know this episode is not funny, but I just want to give people an insight as to how my anxiety plays out in my mind. All because of the routine checkup is bad. It's like the routine checkup. You're doing something good, okay? You're going to make sure you're fine. That's what you're supposed to do. That's the responsible thing to do. You go in, you get weighed, they do the blood work and all that stuff, you know? Just being a responsible adult. And then you just go in there and get blindsided with the worst news ever. It's like getting off early from work. You stop by the store, you get some flowers, you get some wine. You're going to surprise your wife. But yet, when you get home, she surprises you and she's having sex with somebody else in your house. That's what the routine checkup is. A cheating spouse. The off early, come home, let's have a great night. The kids are gone. We're going to watch a couple shows, get toasted, maybe have some wild sex. But no, she's already banging somebody else. That's what it is. That's the routine checkup. So, and to make it even worse, I go in Tuesday, get the blood drawn, and my follow-up appointment to talk to the doctors is on Friday. So Wednesday, they call. I see the number pop up. I'm like, oh, fuck, it is bad. They're already calling me. I was like, it's over. And it's just like, oh, yeah, the doctor wants you to see if you can bring in all your old blood work so he can kind of compare it to what he gets from these results. And I'm like, I'll try to get them. I'll get those. Later on that day, doctor's office call again. And I'm like, oh, this is it. Here we go. This is the bad news. Here we go. Hey, did you get our message about, bringing your old lab work records in? I'm like, yes, I did. I'm working on it. You'll get them. Bam. Hang up. Next day, another phone call. I'm like, all right, this is it. Here we go. Third time's the charm. Here comes the bad news. Hey, you got your follow-up appointment. And I'm like, yeah, it's Friday. And I'm like, look, lady. I'm like, stop calling me. I was like, I'm a hypochondriac. And every time I see your number pop up, I think I'm dying. And she's just like, oh, baby, you're fine. You're going to be okay. And that, again, this triggers the anxiety. This triggers it. This triggers it even more. So finally Friday comes around and it's getting even worse. So I get to the doctor's office and like, they're being really nice. And my wife is with me too. And I'm like, they're being too nice. They know it's terminal. They know. They have to be really nice to me because they know I'm about to get some really, really bad news. I know it. It's like, I could just feel it. So I finally get back there. They do the blood pressure and all this kind of stuff. And the nurse is like, how are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I was like, I know in 15 minutes. And she's just like, just kind of a fake laugh. And I'm like, I get nothing there. Nothing, not even, you're going to be fine. That's when I was like, oh, she knew. I was like, she knows for real. I was like, she just can't tell me anything, but she knows that I'm about to get bad news. And I sit in there with my wife for like another 15 minutes just waiting for the doctor to come. And I'm like, there's no way that he, if it's that bad, that he would just make me wait 15 minutes. I was like, but then maybe he's probably getting like all his paperwork and he's going to bring somebody else in to tell me how awful it is. And then he walks in and then he looks at my wife. He goes, oh, good, you're here. I'm like, oh, fuck. Why is it good that she's here? Why? And I'm like, it's over. It's done. And my doctor is like very kind of like this. I don't know if stoic is the word, but he's not very emotional. Or he's not very animated. He's just very like, well, you know, Chris, you know, this is the Mediterranean diet and just make sure that you rest your ankle. And that's kind of how he is. Just not very excitable. Even when he called me to tell me the blood work came back weird, he was just like, you got your history of this or that, what's going on? And I'm like, I was so freaked out when he called me the first time. I called him, bruh. He's like, you're not taking this very well. I'm like, bruh, you're calling me at 5:15. This is after hours about my blood work. Of course I'm not doing well. I'm not. Bruh, I'm terrified. I was like, I'm dying. Then you're not dying. So he comes in and he goes, glad you're here, to my wife. And then it's just like, oh, yeah. So your numbers look great. They're fine. He's like, I don't know why they came back like that. He's like, just watch your diet. Just stay away from the processed foods and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I was just like, I was so relieved. And I felt stupid afterwards. I'm like smiling from ear to ear. And I know my wife, I know I'm difficult to deal with. I'm a mess. I'm a mess, people. I'm a mess mentally. But I was just so glad she was there for me. She probably figured, like, there's nothing wrong with this nigga, man. He's going to be fine. But you know what's bad? When your wife is like, would you recommend that he, you know, is there any recommendations for him? And he goes, well, I know he sees a therapist. He's like, he might want to talk to him about some anxiety medication, because this is basically, it's a bit much. So even my doctor told me I was over the top and I need to chill out. So I'm fine, people. So that was my headspace for the last week. And, just thinking I was going to die. But I will say this, even though I was extremely worried, my mind did race, but I will say this, I did not get on the internet and start doing research, because if that was the case, it would have been even worse. So I would say that's a step in dealing with this type of stuff. And even doing this podcast is terrifying to me, because I feel like down the road, if something ever happened to me and my podcast happens to be still around, people will come back and listen to this and go, damn, look, he's talking about dying and now he's dead. That's crazy. So even this scares me. Even this scares me. So, yeah, again, I know this isn't funny, but that's just a view into my mind and how I even had to have an emergency session with my therapist on Thursday. I mean, it got to the point where I was texting my wife and she was like, you have to go see Larry. She's like, this is a bit much. This is a bit much. So I went and saw Larry Thursday before. I'm telling this story like fucking Quentin Tarantino. I'm all over the place with this story. But I went and saw Larry on Thursday, and, you know, I felt better. But then that Friday before the results, I was a mess, hyperventilating in the car. Yeah, it was pretty bad. But I got through it. I'm trying to work on it, people. So if people are listening to this and you have any techniques or ideas or methods on how you deal with your anxiety and hypochondria, just email me at negropleaseradio@gmail.com. That's right. That's it. That Friday after I had my appointment, I felt great. And I did a benefit show for a friend of mine, George, whose house burned down here and they lost everything. And I opened the show talking about my anxiety and my health scare and all that kind of shit. And like later on, literally my doctor walks into the show. Isn't that crazy? I was like, holy fuck, that's my doctor. And he was just like, didn't realize it was me. And I gave him a hug. I was so happy. I actually hugged this dude. And we barely talk at the doctor's office because he's just so, you know, like stoic. But yeah, that was my last week. So yeah, that's all I can say is yeah. I feel dumb. I need to work on this. I don't want to pass this on to my son. And the older I get, the more I realize, like, this shit kind of runs in my family. So let your kids know. If you got something like this that runs in your family, anxiety, depression, just let people know, man. That way they can get a handle on it at an early age, and they'll recognize the signs, and they won't spiral out of control like I do from time to time. But I don't want to get on medication for this at all. I really don't. I think that it happens so far and few between. I don't want to start taking medication. I don't want to get dependent on it to where it's like, I can't fly unless I have my Xanax. I can't do this unless I don't want to become that person. I really don't. I don't want that to become a crutch. But anyway, there's a show. That's a show. Please follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I will be at Liberty Labs in Fredericksburg this weekend. Next month, I'm back in Arlington, Virginia with Mark Norman. I'm working with him the same weekend. His special airs on Comedy Central. I want to say it's May 12th. And then that following week, me and my boy Doug Key and my homegirl Naomi Caravani will be driving down to the Cape Fear Comedy Festival. Me and Doug will be staying in a fucking creepy-looking old colonial house that's all modernized, and I'm pretty sure the shit's probably haunted, and I hope it's not, because I hate that shit. But, yeah, see you guys next week. Peace.